Let me encourage you to spend some time this week reading the back page of the bulletin. If you didn't get one, Dave's got some. There's some over here. I think this fair exhibit was the best we've ever done. The response from the community was enormous, and the opportunities we had were fantastic. I've got some ideas for next year, and I hope you do. The time to think about that as well. The thing is fresh in our minds. And so do some thinking about it and share what you have in mind, what you think would work. I think we've worked that board that Larry built, I think, what's the fifth year or so. It's about time to give it a rest and do something different. But the opportunity to talk to the community and to have so much time with children and to get materials into people's hands, you can't put a price tag on that. And I appreciate so much all of you who took time and went out and visited with people and talked with people. It was a great week. Thanks for everybody's participation in this. I also want to encourage you to keep everybody in your prayers. Larry's fighting a battle. Peggy's still dealing with her skin cancer problem. Gary Bundle has got some problems with work. There's just a lot of things going on among us, and we need to keep all of these in our prayers. The Maylene situation is going to be very critical this week, so be sure to keep her in her prayers as well. I want to talk about faith this morning. You know, we have all these struggles, we have all these problems, we have all these difficulties in life. Our faith can be challenged. What do you really believe? What's your faith about God? What do you really believe about the church? What's your faith about the church? What do you really believe about death, about sin? Do you have doubts? Do you wish you didn't have doubts? I suspect you said, yeah, to at least some of those. I know I do. I think we're a lot like the father in Mark 9. Starting with verse 21, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has it been like this? From childhood, the father said. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. And the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief. Can you react to that? Can you relate to that? I know I can. You're here this morning because you or somebody close to you has some kind of belief. I mean, even if you were forcibly dragged here, somebody had some kind of belief. Many of us don't have enough belief to facilitate action. So it's important for us to talk about faith. It's important for us to invest individually and collectively energy to build our faith. So I want to share some things with you this morning, some things that have to do with faith, what God says about it, some things that are common sense. We all know that the faith chapter is Hebrews 11. Most of us probably could quote the statement, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made of what is visible. Does that help? Does that give you any answers? You know, faith just means believing in something because of a testimony you trust. Let me say that again. Faith just means believing in something based upon a testimony you trust. For some of us, it's a person. For some of us, it's a book. For some of us, it's God's Word. For some of us, it's nature. I had a department chair that said, the only time his faith was helped was when he was sitting in a boat in the middle of a lake with a bluegill on the end of his line. You know, reason can do nothing without testimony based on belief. All philosophies, all laws, all procedures are based on beliefs. I know how you're supposed to fix a car. I know what my beliefs are about that. But I would have a hard time putting that faith into action. Catching fish on Pitcher Lake is something that's based on belief. I don't know much about it, but I have the testimony of Larry Fox. And he has evidence. So I have faith there are bluegill that can be caught in Pitcher Lake. On a less obvious basis, Bill Gibson has faith that there's a huge turtle in Pitcher Lake. Every time he describes it, it gets bigger. So I have information about Pitcher Lake, but I haven't used it. See, we have a lot of things that are outside our skull, but belief makes us do something. And there is no faith, no conflict between faith and reason. So I read you the passage from Hebrews 11, the definition of faith, and that statement, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made of what was visible. You know what's interesting is science in the last 25 years has proven that statement to be true. When I read Proverbs 8, starting with verse 22, and I see the discussion of wisdom and the power that God used, the wisdom that God used before anything physical appeared, that proverb is absolutely amazing. Now we have the Higgs boson. We're talking about dark matter. We're dealing with the God particle. What are these things? They are things that we cannot see. The universe indeed was made of things that are not visible. So it's taken us thousands and thousands of years to understand what Hebrews 11 is saying. Saying what you believe will only happen if you can perceive it through your senses is nonsense. It's nonsense. And yet all of us have families and members of our families who don't have faith because they can't see it. But you know, all of us have faith in something. What is your faith in? Is your faith in a book? Is it in a man? You know, it's fascinating to watch what's happening to those who have faith in the Republican Party right now. Isn't that a circus? I mean, no matter where you are on that perspective, it's obvious that a political system is based on faith. And sometimes the evidence is almost non-existent. So faith means believing in something based upon testimony, something you trust. My question to you is, what do you trust? The people out there on that lake right now on a boat, trusting something different than those of us that are here. But I want to say to you in the same breath that I say that, that true faith is not free of doubt. If you say, well, I have doubts. Okay? So did every great faith that was out there. Listen to Romans 4, beginning with verse 18, as the writer talks about Abraham, the man of great faith. Now listen to what it says. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Wow. So, did Abraham ever have doubts? Listen to Genesis 17:17. When Abraham was told what Paul just talked about here, you know what Abraham said? Now, I'm quoting now from Genesis 17:17. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man at the age of 100? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Did he have doubts? Oh, yeah. But he didn't waver in his belief. You can have doubts. As a matter of fact, it's important to understand that faith is not mental certainty. It still allows a consistent walk with God. So don't ever say, I got doubts and so I'm not coming to church. I'm not getting involved. I'm not reading my Bible. No. Doubt is a good thing, as long as you answer that doubt. Abraham had doubts, but he's held up to us as an example of incredible faith. We build our faith by asking questions, by seeking answers. You know, our little booklet at the fair, it was amazing to watch people deal with these questions. One of the things I did with the kids was I said, hey, take this book and ask your mom and dad these questions. And about half an hour later, here comes mom, here comes dad, you know. What do you mean about, well, take a look. We need to ask questions. The Bible is full of great people of faith asking questions. Let me read a couple of these to you from the psalmist. This is a man of faith. This is David. Psalms 10:1. Why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? That's David, man of faith. Psalms 12:1. Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The fearful have vanished among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. End of quote. Don't you get tired of people and their dishonesty? Don't you get tired of that? Don't you get tired of the fact, no matter what they tell you, the story can't really trust it? Don't you get tired of a boss that lies through his teeth or her teeth? Psalms 13:1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me, Lord, and answer me, O Lord my God. Sound familiar? You ever wrestle that way with God? The whole book of Job is this argument going back and forth about faith issues. We have to be willing to accept the answer. So when Job is all done, in Job 42:5, Job says, Lord, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now he sees purpose. Now he sees answers. His questions have pushed him to understand. The 38th, 39th, 40th, 41st chapter of Job. Job is indoctrinated by God with answers to these questions. And Job says, now mine eye seeth thee. He's not talking about seeing God in a physical form. He understands God's way of work. He understands the purpose of his life. In the New Testament, in Romans 8:28, we're told all things work to the good of them that love the Lord. Sometimes it's hard for us to see that. Sometimes we're like the psalmist and saying, God, I don't understand. Keep asking, brother. Keep asking, sister. Answers do come in time. But let me also say to you that faith doesn't mean believing without evidence. You're not asked to believe blindly. I've used this example before, but I think it's the best example that is in the Hall of Scriptures. And that's Thomas. Looking at Thomas's whole life. Because you go back to John, the 11th chapter, in verse 16. When Jesus says to the disciples, we're going back where they're trying to kill me. And everybody else is running for cover, and Thomas stands up and says, let's go get killed with him. That's Thomas. That's Thomas, doubting Thomas. Let's go get killed with him. And yet, we remember John 20, starting with verse 24, a short time later, when Thomas is told that Jesus has appeared. And Thomas's response, and I'm reading now, 20:24. When the disciples came, the disciples told him what they had seen the Lord. He declared, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it. He needed evidence. So, what happens? Does Jesus say, well, that's tough, Thomas. You had your chance. You blew it. Did Jesus say, well, you just got to believe? What did Jesus do? We know what Jesus did. Pick it up in verse 27. Because what happens is that they're in the same place and the doors were shut. And in verse 27, Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. He didn't condemn him. He didn't chastise him for his evolution from let's go get killed with him to I can't believe it at all. He provided him with the evidence. We have studied over and over the evidence. Our fair booths for the last 4 years have focused on the evidence. In our classes, we continually respond to the evidence. Every now and then I'll do a sermon in this area because it's my area of specialty if I have one. The Romans 1 beginning with verse 19 says we can know there is a God through the things He has made. That's something you can do. We have a little booklet called Does God Exist? It's back in our auxiliary track rack back there. If you're not on our mailing list, let us know. We'll put you on the list. Pick one up today on your way out. The whole thing is devoted to belief, to faith, to evidence. Psalms 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. And Proverbs 8 that I talked about earlier, start with verse 22 and read that. Build your faith. You know, if we only walk by our senses, it weakens us in every aspect of life. Your love for your mate. Trusting your kids. Loving America. It's interesting to me that the most well-quoted remark of John F. Kennedy is, quote, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Don't just go on blind observation. Make it active. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. And the question is, what do you put your faith in? Just what you see. There's no such thing as too much evidence. God did not empower us with evidence that would weaken us. God gives us evidence that supports us. Let me give you a little illustration, which will apply to some of you, maybe not everybody. it take to make you 100% sure that your wife is faithful to you or that your husband is faithful to you? If you're walking by sight in your marriage, how can you be sure your mate is faithful to you? 100% sure. Answer? Walk behind them every minute of every hour of every single day. You say, well, that's impractical. Of course it is. So what are you doing? You're functioning by faith, aren't you? You have evidence, but you don't follow her everywhere. What kind of a marriage would it be if you had to walk behind your mate every minute of every day to be sure that they're faithful? And some of us here have had horrible surprises because we trusted and that trust was violated. But we don't let that interfere with the fact that the rest of us walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. In John 12 and verse 37, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Can you believe that? You know, I've heard people say, well, if I'd been there when Jesus raised the dead, I'd have been a believer. I'd have followed him. There were people who watched Lazarus come out of that tomb and denied him. Why? Because somebody's giving them an explanation. Well, he really wasn't dead. Oh, yeah? But that's their faith. That's not the evidence. I suggest to you, we're no different today than they were then. If you don't want to believe, you'll find a way to write off anything God does. That's Satan's technique. People rationalize the evidence. So Jesus says, Matthew 12, verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. He that does not gather with me scatters. That's also in Luke 11 and verse 23. So I come back to you this morning saying to you, what role does your faith have in your life? Are you building in faith? Or are you dying? You don't sit still. Believe me, you don't sit still. You're either building or you're dying. And Satan is coming after you every minute of every hour of every day. He's throwing everything at you. He's doing it in the political realm. He's doing it in your newspaper. He's doing it on your television set. He's doing it in the entertainment industry. He's hitting you with everything he's got. And he'll damage your faith if you let him. So ask the questions. Look at the evidence. Continue to renew your faith. God's Spirit is a gift that comes from expressing our faith. Acts 2 and verse 38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our Wednesday night class, we're studying that gift. We're studying the Holy Spirit. The question is, how does God do that? How does he give us the tools to resist all this stuff that's coming at us from Satan? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19 says, whatever you do, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Faith feeds the fire. So resolve in your heart, you're going to do everything you can to build your faith. When you can, be here for our Bible studies. Stay for the potluck today. You say, what? How's that got to do anything with faith? Because you're going to spend an hour with some of the best people on this planet who share your faith. We got plenty of food. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you willing to give some time to build your faith, to be strengthened by your time together? And I realize not everybody can be here every time, but spend some time every day working on faith issues. We have videos you can check out. Faith is a journey from a mustard seed to a giant tree. And your faith needs to grow. Don't let it die. Don't put out the fire. We have a song that we're going to sing. It's a concluding song here. If you would open your songbook, number 337. And I hope everybody here will respond this morning to this invitation song. Not trotting down the aisle necessarily, but respond in your heart and say, how am I doing? How's my faith this morning? Is it better than it was a year ago? And am I looking forward or backwards? Am I going to strengthen my faith? Am I going to grow? Is my heart right with God? Count the things that God has given you and realize the evidence. And if you want us to pray with you this morning, we'd consider that an honor. If you're not a Christian, it's important to have your life in tune with God's love. So if in any way you're responsible to respond to the invitation, we hope you'll do that. And if you want to publicly state your connection, we urge you to do that. As together we stand and sing, number 337, won't you come?